عليك. We've been reading the ninth chapter of the second canto, a very important chapter, because in this chapter, if for no other reason, it contains the Chatur Sloki Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam, original Bhagavatam spoken to Lord Brahma by Lord Krishna in four verses. And that Bhagavatam was expanded from four verses to the approximately 18,000 verses it is at the present. So those verses, as we shall start hearing, not tomorrow and not the next day, but the following day, if Krishna allows, are very wonderful, and they have been analyzed in great depth by Srila Jiva Goswami. Today, in the next to last verse that we shall cover today, again if Krishna allows, we will get the basic introduction to those four verses. But where we are now in the Bhagavatam, yesterday we completed the which verse? 19th verse. And what had happened was Lord Brahma had performed austerities. When we think of the word austerity, what do you think of when you think of the word austerity? What do you think of? Okay. Fasting, yeah. That I bet that wasn't a voluntary austerity. Yes? Pulling in his belt tightly, yes? Yeah. So we have different concepts of what austerity means. In the Vedic culture, there are many, many processes of austerity. In winter, great yogis would control their bodily heat and go into a freezing lake of cold water all day, all night, as an austerity. And one has to control one's mind by this. The physical austerity, or the purpose of the physical austerity, is to control the mind. For instance, another austerity that was commonly practiced is in the hot summer season. One would surround oneself by fire on this side, on all the sides, fire and the heat of the sun. And there's the sun, that fire, blazing down from above. Now, what does that have to do with the mind? Is that just a physical austerity? The real austerity is the mind. Why? Why? Yes, I know what my mind would be telling me at every moment. Get out immediately. Go and find some ice or something and put it around you. The last thing the mind wants to do is allow the senses, this is of course the materialistic mind, cause the senses to be deprived of any convenience and pleasure. That's the business of the materialistic mind, to serve the materialistic senses. And to break that specific tendency of the mind, because the mind grasps onto the world of matter, into the world of Maya, and it won't let go. And to break that strength of the mind, more than anything else, is the purpose of these type of austerities. To learn, it's part of the process of controlling the mind. And of course, the perfection of controlling the mind is when the mind becomes attached to Krishna. And instead of holding on to miserable dukkhalayam, source of misery, temporary paripantanao, temporary stumbling block, indriyas indriyas yarte raga dvesho avastitao, tayona abhigaccha tayasya paripantanao, to break the mind's grasping. And when it grasps, it won't let it go, practically speaking, when the mind is strong and strong-willed. To break that tendency and then have it hold on to the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna's service. With the strength that it tends to hold on to Maya, it has to hold on to Krishna's service with still greater strength. That is the practices of Krishna consciousness. The extra strength is put in through the intelligence, by conviction, through one's taste, through higher order. So Brahma had performed austerities of meditation upon the mantra, and he controlled his mind, he controlled his senses, focusing them clearly on the mantra the Lord gave him, initiation. And his mood was to please the Lord. That will come out clearly today, in the verses we hope to read today. And because Krishna was pleased with his attempt to please him, Lord Brahma was awarded vision of Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And yesterday we heard a description of that spiritual world. Nothing to do with the material world, except that the material world is a reflection of that effulgent, eternal, all-blissful spiritual world. And Lord Brahma saw Vaikuntha. He saw the residence of Vaikuntha. He saw Lakshmi Devi, the eternal servant of the Lord of Vaikuntha, and he saw Lord Narayan himself. Very, very beautiful. And what were his eyes compared to? The petal of a lotus flower. So beautiful. Actually, so many parts of Krishna's body are compared to the lotus. Kunti Devi, her prayers. The lotus is so, the petals are very, very soft and delicate and reddish tinge. Krishna's palms of his hands have that reddish tinge. The soles of Krishna's lotus feet are tinged reddish, pinkish. And they are so soft and delicate that if you just touch them, even if one just touches them slightly, that reddishness will go away. They're so soft and delicate. So Brahma had that darshan. He saw all of Vaikuntha. And the Lord himself came forward and said, I am pleased with you, and therefore I have awarded you this understanding of Vaikuntha. And he even shook Brahma's hand. Imagine to be touched by the lotus hand of Krishna, of the Lord. And then he asked Brahma, who was fully ecstatic, he began to speak to Brahma. This is text 20. He said, the beautiful personality of Godhead addressed Lord Brahma. This is what he said. O Brahma, impregnated with the Vedas, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated penance, with the desire for creation. Because Brahma had heard, he wasn't sure how to proceed with creating the universe. So he heard those syllables, tapa, tapa, the 16th and 21st letters of the alphabet, of the consonants. And therefore he began to perform these austerities. But not just to perform austerities. He controlled his and focused his mind for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. And that's the heart of austerities. And that's exactly what pleased the Lord. His attitude of doing something for Krishna's pleasure. And that basically is bhakti. When one acts, because everyone in this world acts, we must do something. We can't avoid actions. The only way to stop moving and acting is to be dead, practically speaking. When we're at it, when the soul leaves the body, then finally, there's no more movement and activity in the body. Just even in the class, just try to stay without moving for even 7 seconds or something. And then what to speak of the mind? Stop the mind from going here and there all over the universe. The power of the soul brings movement to us, the individual. So when the center of that movement ceases to be our selfish selves, this tiny, insignificant soul, who is me, when the center becomes transferred to the pleasure of Krishna, that is called Bhagavad Dharma, or Krishna consciousness, or Bhakti Yoga. So that pleased Brahma's acts, which not exactly, again, the tapasya, but the act to please the Lord on the Lord's order was so pleasing to the Lord. And therefore he said, O Brahma, who was impregnated with the Vedas, I'm very much pleased with your long accumulated penance, 1,000 celestial years, which is indeterminably long. With the desire for creation, you perform that penance on my order. Hardly I am pleased with the pseudo-mystics. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this verse, text 20, saying, the desire for creation was not the dominant desire in Brahma, but rather his dominant desire was to please the Lord, and therefore the Lord was pleased with him. It's just natural. When someone does something just to please you, with no other motive, just to make you happy, just to please you, how much that touches our heart. But that is so rare in this world, so rare. Everyone promises us this is just to please you. Just like if we go to Loy Bazaar, one of the shopkeepers will say, or I don't know what they say to the Indian devotees, but the Western devotees, Hari Bol, Prabhu, come. You want limca? So they're giving you limca. But is their desire actually to please you? Is that the only thing that's in their mind? Does anyone still think that's why they're giving you a limca? No. Why? Because they want you to take out your wallet and spend your money in their shop. So that isn't a true act to please you. So pure devotional service, and yabilasita sunyam gyanakama anavrita, anukulena Krishna anushilanam. Anukulena is actually just to please Krishna. So Brahma, that was the dominant idea or the attitude that he had. So the Lord knew this. How did he know it? Because he knows what everyone is thinking. We can't get away with anything. He knows what's motivating us, which is a good reason to be very humble. But Brahma pleased him due to his pure attitude. The next text, 21. The Lord said to Brahma, I wish you good luck, O Brahma. You may ask from me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire. You may know that the ultimate benediction, as the result of all penances, is to see me by realization. So, this is really what is to be gained. In this world, everyone performs so many austerities. It's unavoidable. Tapasya, austerities, penance. Translated here more often than not, penance as opposed to austerity for tapasya. Acting in a way that foregoes one's own pleasure to gain something else. Tapasya, penances, austerities. But what is the ultimate that we can gain from tapasya? And that is to see Krishna, he's explaining. Text 22. The highest perfectional ingenuity is the personal perception of my abodes. So this is actually what is to be gained. Through one's intelligence, one's power, one's austerity, one's desire, if we can somehow or another be pure enough to enter into the spiritual world, into Goloka Vrindavan, there is nothing greater that can be gained. And Krishna himself, the Lord himself, is explaining this, to personally perceive my abodes. Because what we perceive is based on our consciousness. I notice this quite frequently. If I have to, for instance, buy a new watch or a car or a camera or something, wherever I look, I see cameras or cars or watches, depending upon what my mind is focusing on at that time. The mind, the quality of the mind, gives us, it awards us a vision, what we see. We don't exactly see with our eyes. We exactly see with our minds. When we're angry, everyone else is wrong. Because our mind is filled with anger. When we're happy, the whole world looks happy. When we're peaceful, everything is shanti, shanti. Everything depends on the mind. So therefore, he explains, the Lord explains, this is the ultimate benediction, when one's mind and heart is so pure that there is no other desire. Anya bilasita sanyam gyanakama anavrita anakulena krishna anushilanam. When one's desire is just to please me, that is the highest act of tapasya, which is also called devotional service. And that awards one the ability to actually see the Lord. When one's mind is in that condition, one sees the Lord. And of course, that is the purpose of the practices of sadhana bhakti, to get one's mind cleansed and in that condition. And then all one's acts, all the activities one performs will be an exhibition, an extension of that desire to please Krishna. Text 22, yes, we read. The highest perfectional ingenuity. So that's the last word that one can do with one's consciousness. The perfection of consciousness is Krishna consciousness, because that by that consciousness the Lord is actually conquered. So this will all be explained in the Chatusloka Sloki Bhagavatam, and this is actually the subject matter of the Bhagavatam itself. So you have been able to perceive my abode, and this has been possible by your submissive attitude in the performance of severe penance according to my order. Submissive attitude means that his desire was just to please Krishna. We'll read text 23 and then read Prabhupada's purport. O sinless Brahma, Anagha. It's like there's Agha, Aghasura, such a sinful demon. Arjuna is called Anagha, sinless, and here Brahma is also called sinless, Anagha. O sinless Brahma, you may know from me that it was I who first ordered you to undergo penance when you were perplexed in your duty. Such penance is in my heart, is my heart and soul, and therefore penance and I are no different. Interesting verse. How is Krishna and penance, the Sanskrit word again is tapasya, how is Krishna and tapasya exactly the same? How does tapasya cause, how is that Krishna's heart and soul? Prabhupada will explain, and we've also really mentioned it already. The penance by which one can see the personality of Godhead face to face is to be understood as devotional service to the Lord and nothing else. Now, there's more to that sentence, but before we complete that sentence, what again does penance or tapasya or austerity, how is that connected to devotional service? How is it devotional service? Well, you have to say it loudly. Yes, so how is that tapasya or penance? Yes. Yes, that's also a good answer. We use our senses instead of for petty, selfish, non-satisfying sense enjoyments, but for the pleasure of Krishna. That is tapasya. To speak, that's why Prabhupada, when he says the purpose of the tongue, for instance, he'll say, to speak about Krishna and to taste Bhagavat Prasada. So to only speak about Krishna and to not speak nonsense, gramyakata na karibe. Kahibe. Yes, thank you. No gramyakata. What does gramyakata mean? What does village talk mean? Because we didn't... Gossip. What does gossip mean? Do you know? Yeah. Did you hear what happened? Did you? Did you hear yet? You haven't heard yet? I saw this, and this person did this, and this person... Really? And there's more, too. One's whole life and mind, and even there is no prohibition, as Prabhupada explains, possibly in Nectar Devotion, against reading the newspaper. But if you spend an hour reading the newspaper and then you manage to escape, at least I feel like my mind has just been degraded. That's the nature of gramyakata. Prabhupada once called history the chronological record of nonsense. All gramyakata, all creates reactions, sanskaras in our consciousness. Attractions, aversions, someone becomes a friend, we get angry at this group of people, these people we feel sorry for. These impressions in our consciousness push us towards our next birth. Attractions and repulsions. Ichchadvesha samutena dvandva moena bharata. This is the very nature, this duality, the attractions and aversion, is the very nature of the ropes that bind us within the material world. So, devotional service is to accept what's favorable for going back home, back to Godhead. How sincere one has to be. How sincere actually one has to be. Sincere means pure. There is no difference between purity and sincerity. And the opposite of sincerity, of course, is insincerity or pretentiousness. As we heard that Brahma performed non-pretentious austerity. He wasn't pretending to be pleasing Krishna like Putana was pretending to please Krishna to feed baby Krishna, but actually was trying to kill him. So unpretentious. So devotional service is the actual, the best of tapasya's austerities. And it is not like sitting in fire that is so difficult or sitting in the cold water. It's taking prasadam. It's talking about Krishna. It's seeing having the eyes become attracted to the beautiful forms of Krishna Balaram and Radhashyama Sundar and the graceful forms of Gaunatai. It's having the intelligence delving into the philosophy of Krishna consciousness deeply. This is the kind of tapasya, but it's also preaching. Acting for Krishna's pleasure. So sometimes it's not only accepting the flower garlands of Radhashyama Sundar, but sometimes it's going and doing things that are difficult in that way. And there's going to be a purport about that, so I won't talk too much longer on this because I want to make sure we get to that. Prabhupada uses one word, painstaking. And when I heard that word, I thought about it, and we'll talk about that. But we'll continue now. Such penance, nothing else. So it's devotional service. The penance, the tapasya, that one can, by which performing one can see the Lord, is devotional service and nothing else. Because by discharging devotional service and transcendental love, and don't forget those words, transcendental love, because that is what makes the service into seva. It's the affection. Oh Krishna, please be pleased with this. I've done this for you. Even if one is sweeping the floor of the temple, if it's done actually for Krishna's pleasure, it's the same as standing on the altar and ringing the bell and offering incense and the flowers and everything. Krishna sees equally. Such penance is the internal potency of the Lord and is none different from Him. Devotional service is not material. It descends. Golokeda prema dana hari nama sankirtana. It descends from the spiritual world. It is not of the material world. And that's one of the great reasons why the Mayavadis are so heavily criticized by Srila Prabhupada, by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by Srila Jiva Goswami, because they say that Krishna's form is material and therefore his activities are material, and therefore his servants are performing material activities. But it is not like that. It's a complete misunderstanding of what devotional service is. It's a connection of the soul to the Ladini Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord. And therefore it has a different taste than other work. It has a different flavor. One adds water to the desert of the heart, and the other parches materialistic activities in service and tapasya, parches the heart still further. And that's exactly what I feel like whenever, after I read the newspaper for an hour. I feel parched. My heart is parched, dry, scorched. Such acts of internal potency are exhibited by non-attachment for material enjoyment. That's on one half. One side, non-attachment for matter and doing what's favorable for Krishna's pleasure. And you can't do what's favorable for Krishna's pleasure if you have attachment on the material side, because your mind will say no. And the mind will be very strong. So therefore, detachment on one side to matter and attachment to Krishna. The living entities are encaged in the conditions of material bondage. Such a good word, encaged. So hard to get out of a cage. Actually, one has to be released from outside, practically speaking. Encaged in what? What is the cage? What are the bars that have trapped us? The conditions of material bondage, because these, here comes what the bars are: propensity for overlordship, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Janaya. I am the center. These things are meant for my pleasure. This is the bars. This causes our bondage. No need to point to anyone else. It is just that and that only. Our own false ego, our tendency to think of ourselves as the center and the Lord. Ishwaraham maham bogi siddaham balavan suki. But by what chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is that from? Ishwaraham maham bogi siddaham balavan suki. 16. Divine and demonic nature. And which one is that? It's not the divine. Ishwaraham. Aham bogi. Siddaham. Balavan suki. No, not the divine nature. The divine nature is just the opposite. But by engagement. So this is the cause of the bondage. It's stemming from this mind's, the rascal mind's rascal tendency to enjoy. This is where the false ego is sitting. But by engagement in the devotional service of the Lord, one becomes detached from this enjoying spirit. And if we become attached, as almost slipped out of my mouth there, that is not good. That is upasakagan. That is a weed. If we become, through our devotional service, attached, we will lose out. The devotees automatically become detached from worldly enjoyment, and this detachment is the result of perfect knowledge. Therefore, the penance of devotional service includes knowledge and detachment. What verse in the second chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam explains this? Janirat asu, very quickly, jnana, very quickly, vairagya comes. If one gets the knowledge and accepts it actually deeply, that I am, who am I? Krishna Das, Dasa Dasana Das. Therefore, the penance of devotional service includes knowledge and detachment, and that is the manifestation of the transcendental potency. One cannot enjoy material illusory prosperity if he desires to return back home, back to Godhead. The two go ill together. They do not work together to be the enjoyer and to be the servant. Any more than if you have a servant in your house and he starts thinking he's the master of the house, what will you do immediately? What will you do? Huh? Yeah, let him go very quickly, maybe with a good kick. One who has no information of the transcendental bliss in the association of the Lord foolishly desires to enjoy this temporary material happiness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that if someone sincerely wants to see the Lord and at the same time wants to enjoy this material world, he's considered to be a fool only. One who wants to remain here in the material world for material enjoyment has no business entering into the eternal kingdom of God, because there is one center, and that's Krishna. The Lord favors such a foolish devotee by snatching all that he may possess in the material world. If such a foolish devotee of the Lord tries to recoup his position, then the merciful Lord again snatches away all that he may have possessed. By such repeated failures in material prosperity, he becomes very unpopular with his family members and friends. In the material world, the family members and friends honor persons who are very successful in accumulating wealth by any means. What does "by any means" mean there? Huh? That they don't care where the money came from, how it was obtained, but long as it's there and they have access to it, then you will be honored and glorified. The foolish devotee of the Lord is thus put into forcible penance by the grace of the Lord. This that Brahmana, the Avanti Brahmana, is a great example of that in the 11th canto. He lost everything. He was so miserly and attached. He was so miserly that his friends and relatives, they didn't honor him because they wouldn't let them have any access to his wealth. He was so miserly, and he offended everyone, and therefore he lost everything in time. And that losing everything, on one hand, one would naturally think that is the greatest misfortune, but it caused detachment in his heart. First misery, and then after misery, detachment, and after detachment, taking shelter of Krishna. Why does one take shelter of Krishna? There was a story that Prabhupada told one time of someone walking along with some food, and it may have been some rice, and he tripped as he was walking, and it went into the air, and he quickly offered it to Krishna. Krishna, Govinda Bhoga. So when we have no choice, then when Krishna takes everything from we foolish devotees, when we have no choice, he takes away all our alternatives, then we will be likely to surrender. And then Krishna will say, see how wonderful my devotee is, he's surrendering. That's how Krishna deals. With one hand he'll be pulling, and next hand he'll be glorifying. That's Krishna. The foolish devotee of the Lord is thus put into forcible penance by the grace of the Lord, and at the end the devotee becomes perfectly happy, being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, penance and devotional service of the Lord, either by voluntary submission or being forced by the Lord, is necessary for attaining perfection. And thus such penance is the internal potency of the Lord. One cannot, however, be engaged in the penance of devotional service without being completely free from all sins. What does that mean? Why can't, what's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita at the end of the 7th chapter? Yesham Jananam Punya Karmanam Drita, and the key to understand is this word Drita Vrataha, means very strong vow. So if one, why does one need to be free from sins to be engaged in devotional service with a strong vow? What is the result of sins? What is the result? Huh? Yeah, but what is in between more sins and sins? What is there? Sinful inclinations, yes. What is that translated into one simple word? Desires, material desires. Are the result. This is sinful reactions, material desires. So if one has desires born of passion, and then what happens is then ignorance increases or makes us angry or more greedy. If one has that, how difficult it is to be dhritavrata in devotional service. We're always knocked this way and that way by the modes of passion ignorance. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, only a person who is completely free from all reactions of sins can engage himself in the worship of the Lord. So what happens if we happen to have not a predominance of goodness in our consciousness? What should we do? What should we... Yeah, we desire to have it. We become humble and we chant Hare Krishna a lot. And we take whatever tendencies we have and use them in Krishna's service and say, please, this is all I can do at this point. Please accept this. Please. What hope do I have unless you're merciful to me? I'm so contaminated. And we should hear the Bhagavatam. Why? What does Krishna say? Srinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtanam vridyanta sto, within the heart, abhadrani. The abhadrani, the inauspiciousness is just this. Sinful reactions, sinful desires, passion, ignorance. Vridyanta sto abhadrani vidunoti saritsatam. So here is our hope. Therefore, before we say the Bhagavatam, we start speaking the Bhagavatam. We hear these wonderful verses written by Srila Sanatana Goswami. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Same with the holy names, Kirtaniya Sadahari, and then Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Without taking shelter of these potent transcendental forms, and Prabhupada will speak about this, then what hope do we have? Brahmaji was sinless, and therefore he faithfully discharged the advice of the Lord Tapa, and the Lord, being satisfied with him, awarded him the desired result. Therefore only love and penance combined can please the Lord, and thus one is able to attain his complete mercy. He directs the sinless, and the sinless devotee attains the highest perfection of life. So therefore Prabhupada would insist upon, if one wanted to make any progress in devotional service or take initiation, which means to begin, one has to give up the four pillars of sinful life, which are, what are the pillars of sinful life? Have to be broken: meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex. Because these are sinful activities. They create more sinful desires in the heart. So just imagine trying to light a fire of pure love for Krishna and expecting it to burn and flame, and at the same time pouring water and water and water and more water on it. So how difficult our task will be. So we have to be close to the processes, the burning process, the hot fire of Bhagavatam, of the Gita, of association, of the deities, of the Dham, and of the holy names. So the Lord said to Brahma, continued text 24, I create this cosmos by such penance. Again, devotional service. I maintain it by the same energy, and I withdraw it all by the same energy. Therefore, the potential power is penance only. Now, here's Prabhupada's purport where the word painstaking comes up. Listen carefully. I'll read the whole thing. It's one paragraph, not long, and then I'm going to ask your understanding of what that means. In executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead and must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end. Even for material prosperity, name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penance. Otherwise, no one can become an important figure in this material world. Why then are there severe types of penance for the perfection of devotional service? An easygoing life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization cannot go together. The Lord is more clever than any living entity. Therefore, he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. The order is received from the Lord, either directly or through the bona fide spiritual master. And to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. One who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. very important purport. Anyone like to offer any comments on it, any realization on it? It's short, and then we'll ask several devotees. Yes. Loudly, though, please. Again, say it. He's the original, yes, taskmaster. Yes, because he is the master of all tasks, because he does everything himself. Yes, and yes. Any pain, that is the symptom of love. And when we don't have the love, it's so hard and painful. It's just work. Yes. Yes, but we shouldn't think that doing what you don't want to do is much better than doing what you want to do, you know, just by definition. Because it's a matter of the order, the order that's coming down, because there's a tendency for sadomasochism to enter devotional service, that I should only do things that I hate, and the more that I hate to do the thing, the better it is for my devotional service. And I should also like beat myself like 50 times a day because I don't want to be happy. Yes, we shouldn't think like that. I'm not recommending that. Ah, yes. That's the highest pleasure, if it's pleasing. The last part. Yeah, from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 4. When I was thinking of a mother when she's taking care of the child, a newborn baby. There's so much affection and feeling of mamata, possessiveness, but it's such, on one day the child keeps her up all night long, has to clean up the passing of the child. In one sense, it's not pleasurable activities, but because of the love, she does it so willingly. But just imagine if the mother said, I'm only going to do the pleasurable parts. Practically speaking, there aren't any pleasurable parts. But what would happen to the child? The child would die very quickly. So it's not that the painstakingness pain in devotional service in and itself is anything valuable, but it is the devotion that I'm willing to do anything to please Krishna, put Krishna in the center. So we have to truly develop love to do this properly. So Krishna, before we can go to Golok Vrindavan, it has to be love. Because love places Krishna in the center, naturally. And the external symptom of that love will be the painstakingness that one is acting to please Krishna. Painstakingness, to me, means just doing everything carefully. Carefully, very carefully, to the minutest detail for Krishna's pleasure. Yes. And again, it's based on the order, the descending order one gets from through the disciplic succession. Shall continue. But very important purport, short and powerful. Then Lord Brahma began his reply to the Lord, and he's going to ask some questions. Because he said, he's explained about penance, and he said, what do you want? Has he said that yet? Yes, I will. Yes, he said, the giver of benedictions, the ultimate benedictor said, what do you want from me, Lord Brahma? Lord Brahma is going to ask questions. Brahma Uvacha. O personality of Godhead, You are situated in every living entity's heart as the supreme director, and therefore you are aware of all endeavors by your superior intelligence without any hindrance whatsoever. So you're aware of everything. There's nothing that can stop you from being aware of everything. In spite of that, in other words, you know everything that I desire already. You're asking me for what do I want, but you already know what I want because you know everything. But yet, you're asking me, in spite of the fact that you already know, I am praying you to you to kindly fulfill my desire. May I please be informed? Now he's going to ask some questions. And they all have to do with the creation. How, in spite of your transcendental form, you assume the mundane form? Because there is nothing different from you. And yet you are present fully in the material world, but yet you have a transcendental form. How is it that you, who is fully transcendental, can become material? You assume the mundane form, although you have no such form at all. And yet, you have no material form. So how can he who is transcendental, who has no material form, become the material world? Because there's nothing separate from him. This is very important for Brahma, because his job is to create the material world. And we already heard that when he was offering sacrifice, there was nothing but Krishna. And what would he offer to Krishna? He had to use Krishna to offer to Krishna. So he doesn't know how he's going to do this. 27. And please inform me how you, by your own self, manifest different energies for annihilation, generation, acceptance, and maintenance by combination and permutation. All this is going to go on. The whole material creation, maintenance, destruction goes on by your energy, but yet I'm supposed to be the creator. How? What am I supposed to do? And how am I supposed to enact this? Unless you explain this to me and demonstrate how to do it, how am I supposed to fulfill my role as the creator? In the last sentence of that purport to 27, in other words, there is nothing but the Lord, and still the Lord is different from all such manifestive activities. So how is Brahma going to create? 28. And O Master of all energies, please tell me philosophically all about them, the energies. You play like a spider that covers itself by its own energy, and your determination is infallible. So when you want to do something, it's going to happen. And like a spider creates the web and then takes it back inside himself. And I'm supposed to be the creator. Your determination is infallible. If you want it to happen, it must happen. 29. Please tell me so that I may be taught in the matter by the instruction of the personality of Godhead, and may thus act instrumentally to generate living entities without being conditioned by such activities. So let me know how this works, how you do everything, so I can become instrumental for you. And then while I'm doing it, the creation as your instrument, how can I do it without being controlled, conditioned by it? And that's further explained in the next verse. Oh my Lord, the unborn, this is text 30, you have shaken hands with me just like a friend does with a friend, as if equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities. I'm going to create the Brahmins who are in the mode of goodness. I'm going to create the Rakshasas and the Asuras, passion and ignorance. Isn't that going to be dangerous for me? I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation. I won't be disturbed by anything, but I pray that all this may not give rise to pride. as if I was the supreme. I'm going to, you're going to be the one who's creating everything, but I'm going to be the instrument. So how can I be instrumental for your creation, especially when I'm dealing with passion and ignorance, and not get proud and not get contaminated and think that I'm the one who's doing it? Because as soon as I think, karta aham, what's the line right before that? Ahankara vamudama, that means I'm bewildered by false ego. And that means I have to, I'm going to suffer like anything and more births. So how am I going to do this? You'll have to explain this to me, how I can do this. Act as your instrument in the creation, where what a task, where everything is you, and you're doing everything, and yet I'm going to be the instrument. How am I going to do this without thinking myself the doer? How am I going to do it, first of all? And second of all, how can I do it without becoming contaminated, conditioned by the illusory energy? Just read the short purport, right, the last paragraph of text 30. Purport. The last short paragraph. Devotees of the Lord are engaged in the specific duty offered by the Lord, and such duties are successfully carried out without hindrance because they are ordained by the Lord. Because His determination is infallible, perfect, never will fail, infallible. The credit of success goes not to the doer, but to the Lord. And there's the first key on how to be an instrument. When everyone says, oh, you have done this so wonderfully, and you have done this so wonderfully, you say no. Or rather, the first test is when you start thinking, oh, look how wonderfully I've done. You have to say no, because as soon as you say yes, I have done wonderfully, kartaham. And that wonderfully could be the simplest thing of sweeping the hall for Krishna. Oh, look how, who else can sweep as wonderfully as I? And we laugh at that. It sounds so funny, but every time I do something like that, the thought that comes to my mind, look at this job. I bet I should give a course in it, a seminar in sweeping. The credit of success goes not to the doer, but to the Lord. But persons with a poor fund of knowledge take the credit of success into their own accounts and give nothing to the credit of the Lord. That is the symptom of the non-devotee class of men. So when you want that, yes, I want everyone to know how wonderfully I have swept, then you get that praise, and that is the reward that you get. But you don't get prema bhakti. If that's what you want, if that's what I want, if that's what we want, that's what we'll get. But we won't get prema bhakti. 31. Now this verse is very, 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 not that the other verses weren't important, but this verse is especially important because it will give the outline of the Chatusloki Bhagavatam verses. Gyanam parama, so the Lord says, this is the beginning of His reply to Brahma. See Bhagavan Vacha. Gyanam parama guyam me. Yad vigyanam samanvitam. Sarahasyam tarangam cha. Grahana gaditam maya. The personality of Godhead said, knowledge about me, as described in the scriptures, is very confidential. Very, very, very secret. And it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me, and you may take it up carefully. Now, in Prabhupada's purport, although he doesn't specifically analyze it in the way that I shall attempt to explain it right now, all the elements are there somewhat indirectly. There are four verses in the Chatusloka Bhagavatam, and each one of them covers one concept. And this is what I'll describe right now is as explained by Srila Jiva Goswami in possibly Bhagavat Sandarbha or Krishna Sandarbha. I can't remember which one. So is Jnanam Paramaguyam Me Yad Vijnanam Samahitam. What Krishna is going to explain in these four verses is, which is the Bhagavatam. So this means that this will be the contents of the Bhagavatam. Jnanam, Vijnanam, Sarahasyam, and Tarangam. These four words are the key to understanding the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. Jnanam, Paramaguyam. This Jnanam, this knowledge, is the greatest secret. It is most confidential. It is described in the scriptures, but it is Paramaguyam, very secret. That means although it is there, it is very hard to actually understand it just by reading the scriptures. It is everywhere. Vedas chasavar aham eva vidyo. By the Vedas, Krishna is to be known. But this knowledge about Krishna, who Krishna is, what his position is, this is Paramaguyam. This knowledge of Krishna. That's the first thing, and that will be described in very brief, but it's expanded into the entirety of the Bhagavatam, these four concepts again. In the first of the Chaturshloka verses is on this subject, text 33. This again is as described by Srila Jiva Goswami. And then Yad Vijnanam Samahitam, coordinated, we can say, as Prabhupada translates, Samanvitam, with Vijnan, realization. What that realization exactly is that comes from knowledge, wisdom, will be the subject matter of the second of the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam verses. And then Sarahasyam, the way to achieve that, that's really Tarangam in one sense, but as Prabhupada explains in the verse, it is realize, how to actually see this Jnanam and the Vijnanam perfectly. One needs a quality, and that is Sarahasyam. And that is translated as what? And what does Rahasya mean according to the Bhagavad Gita? In the 9th chapter, confidential, very, very, very secret. This, what is being referred to, which will be the subject matter of the third of the Chaturshloka Bhagavatam verses, is the most secret, the most confidential part of all the Vedic literatures, the most confident, the most wonderful thing, the greatest secret in existence. And if you have that secret, then you will have perfect jnanam and perfect vijnanam, perfect knowledge and perfect wisdom. And what is that secret? And that will be described in the third of the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. And it's what Prabhupada translates here as devotional service. But as Jiva Goswami will explain it, and as Prabhupada explains it in his purport, he also translates it as mystery. Sarahasyam means mysterious. What is the most mysterious thing? Does anyone know? If you think that, you should be silent. What is the most mysterious of all things? There's only one thing that actually can fit this. Yes, prema bhakti on the highest level. That, why is it so mysterious? What is mysterious? Oh, prema bhakti, prema paramatmahan. But this mysterious thing conquers Krishna. It is so powerful, it conquers the all-powerful. What could be more mysterious than that? It can conquer God, the all-powerful. There is nothing more mysterious than this. And it is explained in the third of the Chatusloka Bhagavatam verses, and unless you have the commentaries of Srila Jiva Goswami, and then the comment, then how these things are even explained in Prabhupada's purports. They're all these points are there, but he doesn't explain them in this specific way, but they're all right there. And once, and after I explain the four, these four, and in this verse, then when we read Prabhupada's purport, we'll see exactly how he said all these points, but not in the kind of methodical way that I'm particularly explaining them right now. But he's actually explained just what I'm saying. So, and the fourth thing is tarangam, the paraphernalia, or the necessary paraphernalia, and that is to achieve prema bhakti. What is the paraphernalia? What is the process to achieve prema bhakti? That is sadhana bhakti. And that will be explained in the fourth of the Chatusloka Bhagavatam verses. So I'm going to quickly read Prabhupada's purport and then quickly read the next verse. And then just give some pointers on the purport to the next verse. And then we'll, if we have any time left, we'll see if there's any questions. So Prabhupada's purport to this important outline verse that explains the essence of the Chatusloka Bhagavatam, this Gyanam Paramaguhyam May verse. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Lord Brahma is the topmost devotee of the Lord within the universe. And therefore the personality of Godhead replied to his four principal inquiries in four important statements, which are known as the original Bhagavatam in four verses, Chatusloki Bhagavatam. These were Brahma's questions. What are the forms of the Lord, both in matter and transcendence? How are the different energies of the Lord working? How does the Lord play with his different energies? And how may Brahma be instructed to discharge the duties entrusted to him? The prelude to the answers is this verse under discussion, wherein the Lord informs Brahma that knowledge of him, so there's the jnanam, the supreme absolute truth, as it is stated in the revealed scriptures, is very subtle and cannot be understood unless one is self-realized by the grace of the Lord. The Lord says that Brahma may take the answers as he explains them. This means that transcendental knowledge of the Absolute Supreme Being can be known if it is made known by the Lord himself. By the mental speculation of the greatest mundane thinkers, the Absolute Truth cannot be understood. So this knowledge of the Lord is going to come from his own mouth, the jnanam and the vijnanam, and the goal, prayojan, the great necessity of prema bhakti, and the process of achieving it. All this is coming from the mouth of the Lord himself. And then the Lord at the end, and we'll hear this right on, possibly in the last class, is going to tell Brahma to expand this. And therefore Brahma tells Narada Muni to expand it, and Narada Muni tells Vyasadeva. And we already heard how Vyasadeva expanded it in the fourth through seventh chapters of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. But it originates from the Lord, and everything else is expanded. The mental speculators can reach up to the standard of impersonal Brahman realization, but factually, complete knowledge of transcendence is beyond the knowledge of impersonal Brahman. Thus it is called the supreme confidential wisdom. Out of the many, So Prabhupada is explaining that there is jnanam, what the jnanis think of as jnana is impersonal. But this is a different way to get jnana, actual knowledge. This is from the Lord himself. And then one understands everything. This is called the supreme confidential wisdom. Out of many liberated souls, someone may be qualified to know the personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said by the Lord himself that out of many hundreds of thousands of people, one may try for perfection in human life. And out of many liberated souls, one may know him as he is. Therefore, the knowledge of the personality of Godhead may be obtained by devotional service only. Rahasyam means devotional service. Lord Krishna instructed Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita because he found Arjuna to be a devotee and friend. Without such qualifications, without that intimate relationship with Krishna, which means prema bhakti, one which is devotional service, and the Rotama Das Thakur says, prema bhakti in the sadhana stage and in the sadhya or perfectional stage is the same. But one is kacha and one is paka. One is unripe and one is ripe. Because it's the internal energy. So a full manifestation of that in the heart is prema bhakti. And the beginning is sadhana bhakti. Without such qualification of what? Prema bhakti, one cannot enter into the mystery of the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, one cannot understand the personality of Godhead unless one becomes a devotee and discharges devotional service. This mystery is love of Godhead, and that is prema bhakti. So Prabhupada has translated as devotional service, but here he's saying what sarahasyam actually is, that mystery that allows you to know Krishna, to actually conquer Krishna. That most mysterious thing is prema bhakti. Therein lies the main qualification for knowing the mystery of the personality of Godhead. Otherwise, no one can understand Krishna without love. Because yeyitam mam prapanyante, he reveals himself according to how much you love him. Because then you can be trusted to that degree with this knowledge of him. Otherwise you'll misuse, one will misuse it. And to attain the stage of transcendental love of Godhead, regulative principles of devotional service must be followed. So that's Prabhupada's explanation here of tarangam. So he's explaining the jnanam, the vijnanam, sarahasyam, rahasyam, and tarangam. The process of attaining that prema bhakti is by sadhana bhakti or vaidhi bhakti. And why does one have to practice that? Because they can be practiced. Devotional service in that, on that level, sadhana vaidhi bhakti, can be practiced by a neophyte with his present senses. Such regulative principles are mainly based on what? Hearing and chanting. And we should not forget that. It is not just work, 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 work. Shu shu sho shradanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatseva vipro punya tirtana sevra. Yes, work, 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 work is so important. But the result of that is vasudeva kataruchi. Must come to the point of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And the best work is, therefore, preaching and hearing. Because why? Because you're hearing and chanting about Krishna. So the whole mission of Prabhupada's ISKCON is a preaching mission to engage everyone in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended five main principles for attaining perfection in the devotional service of the Lord. The first is association with devotees, hearing. Second is chanting the glories of the Lord. Third, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the pure devotee. Fourth, residing in a holy place connected with the Lord. And fifth, worshipping the deity of the Lord with devotion. Such rules and regulations are part of devotional service. So as requested by Lord Brahma, the personality of Godhead will explain all about the four questions put forward by Brahma, which are these four topics, and others also, which are parts and parcels of the same questions. Could someone quickly call up in folio 3413, canto 3, text 413, and raise your hand as soon as you have it, please. And then the final verse we'll read today, and I won't read the whole fairly long purport, but just have a quick tour for it. Okay, could you read that, please, loudly? 3, 4, 13. But loudly. So Krishna, this is when, in the beginning of the third canto, when Brahma, when Uddhava, it's described how Uddhava met Krishna, which is really, all this is from the 11th canto, but it's briefly described in the third canto. Uddhava met Krishna just before he left this world. And Krishna speaks this verse to Uddhava. And then Uddhava asks him, okay, read the verse. This is what Krishna says. Yes. So here in that verse, Krishna is saying that he himself spoke this to Lord Brahma, this knowledge. And then Uddhava asks Krishna, could you tell me the same thing that you told Brahma? And then he does do that. And Maitreya Muni hears that, and therefore Maitreya Muni will speak that to Vidura, and that's the third and the fourth cantos of the Bhagavatam. And therefore in the third canto, the same knowledge is going to be given again by Maitreya speaking it to Vidura. So in text 32, all of me, namely, and thank you very much, you've all been very patient. 2 hours is a long time to sit in one class hearing from one person, so thank you for that. And there's still one more verse. All of me, the Lord says to Brahma, namely, my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, rupa, guna, karma. Let all, he says to Brahma, this is his reply to Brahma, let it all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy. So he's giving his mercy here that everything will manifest in Brahma's heart. Because without that blessing, without blessings, like that, then we may hear and hear and hear, but nothing will happen. We need blessings from Guru, and Guru must be satisfied by three things, according to the Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter. What is that? Wait, just submissive inquiry? No, yes, service and approaching. Submissive service and inquiry, all three. Paripas name is the inquiry. It has to be the service, too. Now, the most of the purport, starting in there's three paragraphs in the beginning. Then after that, Prabhupada, one after another, one paragraph after another. In the fourth paragraph beginning, the Lord discloses his transcendental nature of his existence. So, in the verse, the Lord says, let the transcendental nature of my existence, color, qualities, and activities all be awakened within you. So one by one, in a paragraph each, Prabhupada speaks of each of those things. So in that fourth paragraph, he speaks of the existence of the Lord. In the fifth paragraph, he speaks of the rupa, or the form of the Lord. In the sixth paragraph, he speaks of guna, lila, and lila karma, the qualities and activities of the Lord. And then in the final paragraph, he criticizes the impersonalists, because that's Prabhupada's mission. Because impersonalism, it ruins everything. Because you can, even if you hear this, you think, well, this is so nice, and it all came from the impersonal. And you never can figure out which came from which. So it's a dreaded poison that really must be avoided at all costs. It's worse than material desires. It puts you in a tangle that you'll never be able to actually perform devotional service, because you'll never really be able to have complete trust that the Lord's form is the source of everything. This is the great danger of this Mayavad. So therefore Mahaprabhu said, Mayavada na shunebe, I think. Yes, he must have said that. Yes, say it. Say it so I can hear it. Yes, don't hear this, because it will so mess up your devotional service that you'll never be able to actually become a devotee. Say, oh, Krishna, please take this. So that's how Prabhupada ends that purport about the Lord's. Okay, I'll stop. So I wanted to read the first three paragraphs, but I'll just read the first sentence only. Oh, I can't control myself. I'll have to read the first paragraph at least. The secret of success in understanding the intricacies of knowledge in the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is the causeless mercy of the Lord. Even in the material world, the father of many sons discloses the secret of his position to the pet sons. The father discloses the confidence into the son whom he thinks is worthy. An important man in the social order can be known by his mercy only. Similarly, one must be very dear to the Lord in order to know the Lord. The Lord is unlimited. No one can know him completely, but one's advancement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord can make one eligible to know the Lord. Here, we can see that the Lord is sufficiently pleased with Brahmaji, and therefore he offers his causeless mercy to him, so that Brahmaji may have the factual realization of the Lord by his mercy only. In the Vedas also, it is said that a person cannot know the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, simply by dint of mundane education or intellectual gymnastics. One can know the supreme truth if one has unflinching faith in the bona fide spiritual master as well as in the Lord. Such a faithful person, even though illiterate in the mundane sense, can know the Lord automatically by the mercy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, it is said that the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone, and he keeps himself concealed from the faithless by his yogamaya potency. To the faithful, the Lord reveals himself in his form, quality, and pastimes. The Lord is not formless, as wrongly conceived by the impersonalists, but his form is not like one we have experienced. The Lord discloses his form, even to the extent of measurement, to his pure devotees, and that is the great meaning of Yavan, Yavan Yastasmi Tatvata, as explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, the greatest scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Srila Prabhupada ki jay, Srila Jiva Goswami, the greatest scholar of the Bhagavatam ki jay, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jay. No time for questions, too late. So we'll take one verse a day for the next 4 days, if Krishna allows that.